Hey man, well, brother Ken, when I was in high school, I ate a lot of desserts and I didn't get taller. I wanted to get bigger too, and it just didn't work for me. So, oh, I can recall when in senior high school, when I was in there, the cheapest place to eat in town was the bakery downtown. You could get three jelly-filled rolls for a quarter. You know, all that health food, you know, all that good stuff. So it didn't work for me, Brother Ken, so you pray for me. Amen. Galatians 5, Galatians chapter 5. Okay. Fruit of the Spirit. Okay. We're looking at the third point tonight, peace. I didn't know that desserts had any part to do with getting rid of stress, so I didn't include that in my message, so I'll have to work on that aspect for another message, I guess. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house. We do thank you for the peace that passeth all understanding. I pray the Holy Spirit now would minister to our hearts from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what? Peace. So we're on number three, peace. A fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. So this is not something that someone just naturally has. Sometimes people talk about natural talents and abilities. Sometimes people talk about musicians. And maybe some people have more of a knack for notes and picking up. I guess some people can just hear a song and just play it. So in that aspect, but probably for most people, playing the piano or playing an instrument is just a lot of practice and hard work is what it is. And we have to remember that spiritual gifts are not just something we naturally have, but at the moment of salvation are given to us. So this peace, this fruit of the Spirit we're talking about here is peace. Peace, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, means in a general sense a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. So a state of quiet or tranquility. Just stop and think, where would you like to go for peace and tranquility right now? You think of anything that you would just enjoy, just be peaceful, quiet, tranquil? Anyone have any idea? Okay, out in the woods by a river. I often think of just a little creek or a river rippling. Just what a peaceful sound that is. Anyone else? Pardon me?
My tree stand.
Your tree stand, okay. All right. Okay. Peaceful, tranquil. Okay. Peaceful. Yeah, listening to the waves. Yeah. Amen. Any others? Thanks, Brother Steve. Wind peace like a river attendeth my way. Okay. Amen. Well, then I presume none of them snore then either. So there you go. All right. Okay. Any others to make it peaceful, tranquil? Well, you said some of the things that I think of. Often, I was seen by the water. Any others? Okay. Okay, so a peaceful setting. I had wrote down here out on the water, just a peaceful one. At times, I've gone out to Wabasas Park before the sun rises to capture pictures of the sun coming up. And some of the fishermen beat me to it sometimes. So the lake isn't too calm after just one boat has gone out there. The ripples just, you know, go out over the whole lake. So it takes a while to calm back down. Well, I thought someone would maybe say just curling up in a big easy chair and reading a book. You know, that's a peaceful, tranquil thing to some people is just kind of curling up and and the reading of books. So many things. But what we find is the world can't give us peace. The world has all kinds of ideas, but it really can't give us peace. Let's look at John 16. John 16. We know this, that the world, well, you know, there are some new homes. Maybe you've seen some of them. They'll have a book nook or a book reading nook, whatever you want to say it. But sometimes they kind of build in some benches, maybe some padded benches, with a window will kind of jut out from the house so you can kind of see three directions. And they'll just have a spot in there, a book nook. So, you know, maybe you don't have that in your house. And, you know, but people build all kinds of fancy things into a home. But we know that only the Lord can give peace. John 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We went down to see Brother Paul Miller in Ann Arbor Friday. And as you know, if you've gone anywhere, there's a lot of road construction going on everywhere. At least those guys are busy. And so we were kind of stuck in some different areas that slowed us down, and then we were coming out of Detroit in the rush hour, and earlier that day I thought about the hour we'd be coming through there, and I was thinking, this probably isn't going to be so good. And you couple that with road construction and accidents and all that traffic, and I think it took us over an hour to get what normally takes us a half hour. And I know, Brother Jim, that's nothing compared to the traffic jams you faced, but several hours. But so the world is congested. The world is a traffic jam. Everybody's in a hurry. There was one motorcycle that was just kind of going down, you know, at one point through all the cars. And you may wish you had a motorcycle at that point. But so the world doesn't give peace. Another thing we know that does not give peace is found in Isaiah 57. An unholy life does not bring peace. The world doesn't know that, though. What do they call a certain hour after work? The bar? The happy hour. But it never brings real happiness. No way. It just wastes their paycheck, brings misery to their homes. It's not a happy hour. It ends up being an unhappy hour. In Isaiah 57, verse 20, but the wicked are like what? The troubled sea. He's talking about the water, a river, a creek, well, however you say that word, rippling. I remember calling on a house somewhere in this area. I can't think where it is, but this is probably before the days of the DNR being so fussy, but it was kind of a house built back in, and they put a bunch of rocks across the creek. And so it just sounds so beautiful now because the water just ripples there. And it's a peaceful sound. But you have seen the water on a morning. Brother Ken talked about it, and Brother Bob, whether it's fishing or just looking out over the water, peaceful, the waves lapping. And then again, you've seen water that looks cold and like the winter storm. One day this week, Lincoln Lake looked like that. The wind was coming strong out of the west or northwest, and there was just kind of waves of, I don't know if they were white caps or just pollution, I don't know. I'm not sure, but it just looked cold and very uninviting. I mean, you wanted to wrap up just looking at the water. It's that gray, cold look of water. And then you see water, one of the boys was telling me about, there's a certain lake that reminds you of like a paradise scene, I can't think of the name, but probably like Florida, something more warm climate. And at times like that, in those type of places, the water is kind of a greenish blue, and it looks really inviting. It's not a cold, dark gray, but just that greenish, and it just looks like kind of like a paradise atmosphere. But this picture here, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So That same lake or ocean or gulf that can bring peace sometimes, in other times brings death and danger. Out on Lake Michigan, when the waves get so high, there's a huge undertow. And I don't know if that was this summer or last summer, but maybe it was earlier this summer, but it seems like we were hearing of a lot of people dying in Lake Michigan, getting out too far. So that's the picture here in verses 20 and 21. An unholy life never, never brings peace. And they search for it. In alcohol, drugs, immorality, they search for peace, but they don't find it, do they? The Bible tells us they don't. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, false religion never brings peace. Oh, they try to preach everyone into heaven. You know, they try to say everyone's going. You know, you don't need a ticket. It's free. No problem. Well, we know that's not the case. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 13, compromised or false religion never brings peace. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 13, Jeremiah 6, 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Have you ever noticed how big and rich or ritzy some of these contemporary churches are? I mean, Brother Adams was telling me when he was here, he was saying down in Tennessee, I think it was, that there was he was preaching at some meetings. Maybe it wasn't Tennessee, maybe it was a different state, but he was at a different church and preaching, and he said to somebody, he says, what's that big factory over there? I said, that's not a factory, that's a church. And he said, it's just huge. Huge. It reminds me of the days of the Laodiceans in the book of Revelation. I mean, they were rich and they had need of nothing, they thought. I mean, just huge, huge buildings. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth what? Falsely. I just read about, I don't think it was this week, but the week before, there was a preacher, it seems like it was down south. You may have read about it too, but he preached and preached against sodomy. Well, guess what? He is one. It come out. And the same thing happened in Colorado. Not too many years ago, there was a real well-known so-called evangelical preacher that preached and preached against sodomy. Come out. He was one. So, compromise and false religion. Verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying what? Peace. Peace. When there is what? No peace. So they're saying everything is okay. And it's not. We know it's not. You know, once again, yesterday in the Cedar Springs parade, there was a church float ahead of us. I don't know what church it was from. Maybe some of you saw, but it was a rock and roll type float. And I was kind of amused when they went by us in the staging area. I mean, they were loud. But, you know, all of us were just trying to ignore them going by. You know, we weren't going to smile at them and act like, yeah, you know, great music, guys. You know, we weren't going to do that. And so I was just walking down the float when they were kind of right by us. And I saw our young people, several of them, going like this. And I thought, that should tell you guys something, you know, that your music isn't spiritual. But they say they've healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. That music doesn't bring peace. But they try to make out that it does. So compromise and false religion, it does not bring peace. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 8, these physical bodies of ours do not bring peace. When we look in the mirror, we're not so vain that we just think, wow, you know, aren't I beautiful or handsome? You know, we're not like that. When we look in the mirror, to be honest, many times it doesn't bring peace. Maybe it brings disappointment at the way we look. But we know that it's just flesh. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 15. Jeremiah 8, 15. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. We know these bodies of flesh. Is there a family among us that's not suffering physically in some way? I don't think there is. It just seems like everyone is suffering so much, like the days of Job right now. So, you know, some of the sports players, you know, are quick to say we're number one. And we just know that's not the case. These physical bodies don't bring peace. Our imaginations do not bring peace. Notice in Psalm 55, when things get so bad at times and discouraging, you may just kind of close your eyes and have a prayer kind of like David did here. And Psalm 55, verse 8. Let's start in verse 5. Psalm 55, 5. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I what? Fly away and be at rest. Have you ever felt that way? Sometimes when I'll be out in the evening and I'll see a jet fly over an airplane, and at night when it's dark, in the evening when it's dark, and you see the lights on the wings of the plane flashing when it's going over. And many, many times I've thought, I wonder where those people are going. I wonder where they're headed. Are they going on vacation? They're going to visit family? Maybe on a business trip somewhere. Where are they going? So many people headed somewhere. Where are they headed? And sometimes you may think, oh, that I had the wings like a dove or a DC-10 or whatever else. Probably not a DC-10. Those are getting kind of old now. Maybe something a little more modern. And you may wish, oh, I had the wings right now. I wish I could just fly away someplace and just be at rest. Take it easy. David felt that way here. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Verse 7, lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. So he's just thinking, Lord, I just wish I had a peaceful place. I wish I could just fly away and just be alone and at rest and peaceful. That's what he was imagining, thinking. Notice in Jeremiah 23. But we know that we have to face reality, and we know we can't run from our problems. Sooner or later, your imagination has to come land back home, and we have to face whatever trials that are upon us. But we have to be careful of the imagination, because the imagination can not only be sanctified and take a good trip, but the imagination can also take a bad trip. And that's kind of what Jeremiah 23 talks about, verse 16. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after what? The imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Well, the false prophets are wrong. So we have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So God has given us an imagination. And that's why man can invent things and create things, not out of nothing, but out of something. Man can create things out of the material that God has given to us. And God has given us that imagination. If we didn't have an imagination, every one of our cars would be the same, because no one would have ever thought of a different kind of car. They'd all be the same color. They'd all be the same style. And when we went out there None of us would know which car was ours. You know, we've had different vehicles. We used to have those big old station wagons, and those were easy to find. But you get a vehicle more like other people have, and it's kind of hard to spot in a parking lot. But so imagination can be a wonderful thing. It's produced many inventions, but it can also be a very bad thing. Imagination, when going against God and holiness and righteousness, the imagination can get really bad. And that's why the Lord sent a flood, Genesis 6 through 8. So have to be careful on that imagination one, because just wandering off in la-la land doesn't necessarily bring peace unless that is yielded to the Lord and His will. Another thing in Zechariah chapter 8, another thing that does not bring peace is the economy. And you may say, well, duh, who doesn't know that? Well, even in the good times, the economy does not bring peace. You know, there have been times when people are making lots of money when the economy's good, but that doesn't bring peace. Zechariah 8 and verse 10. For before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any, what? Peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. So no hire for man or beast. No one had any money to hire anyone to do anything. And there was no peace. No peace. Notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, our relations with other countries don't necessarily bring peace at all. No, we're on friendly terms with some countries, and other countries we're not on friendly terms. Kind of always been that way. But even if we were somehow friendly with all countries, that does not bring peace. Has it brought peace that we signed an agreement with Canada and Mexico that we freely trade? I'm afraid that didn't bring peace. I'm afraid Gibson's is gone in Greenville because of that. It's gone. It's not here. Just the other day, not too many weeks ago, I was going by there and just thinking, wow, it's just all grass except the warehouse left there. And I mean, I personally knew many people that put years and years and years. I knew one man I witnessed to many times. He worked 7 days a week there. 7 days a week. He's gone. The factory's gone. What did it do in regard to eternity? Well, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 5. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. So, no peace. No peace with other countries, and it was not bringing peace to them. Following the path of the wicked does not bring peace. Notice in Isaiah 59. These are all things that we know from the Word of God. They don't bring peace, and yet people pursue these things. People pursue treaties with other nations, thinking that, oh, if somehow all the nations of the world could just be at peace with one another, life would be so wonderful. Afraid not. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your what? Iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to what? Evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. And their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of what? Peace they know not. The way of peace they know not. You know, sometimes people get in the wrong crowd. I remember when I went to Bible college, there was some young people from our same church that went down there. And one of the young ladies, that church had a Word of Life program. And they had competitions. And for the young ladies, obviously they didn't let them preach, but they let them do storytelling. And they had competitions for that. And this one young lady was always winning storytelling competitions, winning all kinds of awards. And you would have thought, there's a young lady that's going to be a missionary wife or pastor wife someday. You know, Jesus. But you know what? The first semester in Bible college, she got in with the wrong crowd, and she got kicked out of Bible college. And I mean, we're talking about a very upstanding family of the church, very active family, seemed like such a godly family. And I mean, it was just unbelievable, unbelievable that this young lady could get in with the wrong crowds. But she did, and she got kicked out of school. And just reminds us here, there's no peace following that crowd, as sadly she found out. Well, what does bring peace? Well, we know salvation does. Romans chapter 5, Romans 5. There's no other way to have real peace. We have to get that settled. We have to get saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's the bottom line. To have peace, we have to be at peace with God. We have to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And there can be no real peace until that is settled, because until that's settled, we don't know where we're going to go. You know, supposedly right now, there's no slavery in America. And yet we know there is. Notice in Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews 2, everyone who is not saved is a slave. Oh, they wouldn't agree with that, but that's what the Bible says. Every unsaved person is a slave. In Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through what? Fear of death were how long? All their lifetime subject to bondage. So look at that verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Bible tells us that an unsaved person is in bondage to fear. Fear of what? Fear of losing their lives. All their life, that's a worry on their part. A worry. There's probably not too many guys tougher than Brother Jim's older brother. And we didn't know what was going through, but there came a point in his life when he was afraid to go to bed at night. He would sit up in a chair all night. And we didn't know it until later, until after he got saved, that he said he was so afraid of going to bed because he was afraid he was going to die. And who would have ever dreamed that he was fearful of anything? So the reason I say that is because you may know some lost people, and you may say, well, I know an unsaved person that's not afraid of anything. Well, that's because we don't know all that they think. That's why we may think that. But as in his case, he was petrified of dying. It's true. The Bible is true. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. They're slaves. So, but when we get reconciled to God, that changes. Look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. When we are reconciled to God, we don't have to be afraid to die. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. Luke 12, verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that what? Kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, saying you fear him. There was a church float yesterday, and then a fire truck, and then our float. And I don't know if someone else squeezed in there between us and the fire truck. I didn't see at the end. There was another space there, but I just told them, I just told them, I said, they put that fire truck in the wrong spot. They should have put that fire truck behind us. You know, as we go through there, preaching as it were, hellfire and brimstone, they need someone to put out the fire, amen? But they had the fire truck ahead of us. So, wrong spot. But we don't have to fear death. Verse 4, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. So what? They're going to kill us. That's all that they can do. I mean, wouldn't that shock them? Someone tried to, you know, threaten to kill us. And we just kind of laugh it off and say, hey, buddy, well, that's all that you can do. That's all that you can do is kill this physical body. But what about you? I was given a link by someone or else it was just on a news item that I clicked on. It was a link, and it was a bank robbery. Maybe some of you saw it, but obviously the banks have cameras, and so this guy walks up into view of the camera to a teller, and he's got a thing over his face, and he's holding a gun at the teller, robbing the teller. And then comes into view over behind, there's people waiting kind of in a line in the bank, and then there comes into view this young man, and he's coming on an angle. You know, here's the guy doing the stick up right here. And you can see him, he comes into view, kind of sees what's going on. He just walks right up there and gets the guy right around the neck. And I mean, that's the end of that hold up. And so that was kind of funny. But I mean, he just, when he saw what was happening, he just walked right up behind him, and you know. So, well, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear death. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let's look up just a couple more here. Colossians chapter 3, what brings peace? Salvation. And then after that, we need to surrender to the Lord. Because even after we're saved, you know, we can get going the wrong direction in life, and then our peace flees away. So we need to surrender to the Lord to have that peace. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3:15. And let the what? The peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so we need to let the peace of God rule. We need to surrender. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We have to remember that, because, you know, we can get in the flesh. We can get upset whether we're caught in a traffic jam in Detroit or somebody else does something crazy, you know, out there. It's real easy to not to have peace in all kinds of situations in life. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we have to remember that. And also in this chapter here in verse 12, you need to meditate on it. And then go back, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. and let the peace of God rule in your heart. So verse 13 talks about forgiveness. So how do we not get offended? Well, we just have to forgive. Someone may say something that really kind of hurts, and we just, you know, we just have to forgive immediately. Sometimes people don't realize what they say. They don't realize the way they say it, and it may hurt. And we can't wait for them to say, "I'm sorry," because if we wait for them to say that, they may never say it, so we'd hold a grudge. So we just have to immediately forgive. And then if they say, if sometime the Lord prompts them to say, "You know, I said this or that, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that," then we can say, "That's okay, brother or sister. I forgave you the moment you said it. It's long been taken care of, but thank you for being so sensitive." And so that's the way to be. The way not to be is, "Well, it's about time," you know. We don't want to be that way. The Lord forgives us, and you have to remember Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So we need to please the Lord. So in closing, let's turn to that verse again, Psalm 119:165. So one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Peace. Now, it'd be wonderful if we could just all go on vacation tomorrow beside that creek, on that lake, beside the ocean, out in the woods, the tree stand, wherever. Maybe some of you didn't offer something, but you thought of something that just is a wonderful, tranquil setting that you enjoy. Maybe tomorrow you can't just get right up and go there. But even in the midst of all of the turmoil, God can give a peace that passes all understanding. Psalm 119:165. The Bible says, "Great peace have they which," what? "Love thy law," and what? "Nothing shall offend them." Nothing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to love your law, to love your word. And Lord, we know that offenses will come even as we offend others, even though so many times we don't want to. We say the wrong things, we do the wrong things. We're not as sensitive as we should be. And so we disappoint people, we make some people angry. We offend some people. And Lord, I pray that we would love your law and that we would follow it and that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and that we would have this fruit of peace, that when we have wronged someone, that we would be quick to apologize. And Lord, when people wrong us, I pray that we would immediately forgive them, even as Christ immediately forgives us. And I pray that you would just help us to have that peace, that spiritual peace, that supernatural peace that's not a fleshly thing, that we just can't work up in the flesh, but just as we love your word, and help us to find comfort in that. Have your way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.